Bible. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, New Living Translation says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. You will permit me to emphasize a few words this morning and perhaps omit a few words so that you can understand what we're talking about today. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. In other words, every time you pray, pray in the Spirit. Every time you pray, pray in the Spirit. Then he says, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers. This is part three of the prayer that works. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak to us, illuminate our hearts, shift us in understanding. Help us to know what we need to know. Help us to improve in our communication with you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, and we worship you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Three powerful highlights from the past 2 weeks. I told you before now that the prayer that works is an expression of faith, not of feelings. This is important. God is touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but he is moved by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when we approach God, we must approach him by what? By faith. Now, faith is not because I strongly want it, I strongly desire it. Faith is, this is what the word of God has said to me concerning this situation. And I'm going to stand on that word to make a demand. So the Bible says, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe that you have received it. That's faith. That's faith. So I'm not trusting God to be rich. I'm not trusting God to be healed. I'm not trusting God to succeed. I am successful. I am prosperous. I am healed. Are you getting this? Why? Because I prayed about it. And when I was praying about it, I knew I had it. You see, your attitude is different when you have what you don't have. I tell people this. I've come to find out that a lot of times the advantage of the rich over the poor is not the amount of cash in their pocket or even in their bank. It is, see, there's something about investment. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's something about investment. You see, it's not how much I have, it's how much I conserved. And it's the same thing in the place of prayer. Listen, when I know I have it already, my attitude is different. So you really are not looking for a job. It's either you have one or not. It would affect your countenance when you go for the interview. You know, a lot of people go for interviews like people that they are checking out. Another person goes for the interview like, I came here to check you out. I like a testimony somebody shared. They asked him, so how much are you willing to earn? He said, I don't want salary, I want equity. See, that does not come from, I need a job. If I don't get a job, I'll be hungry. It doesn't come from there. The person is saying, I'm too valuable to be paid a salary. And I'm not here to work for money. I'm here to so invest that I will affect bottom line. Let's share profit. Think about it. I'm going somewhere this morning. I told you before now that faith without obedience. Now, this is very powerful. This is very key. Faith without obedience is greed wearing a mask of religion. Faith without obedience is greed. This is what it means. When I want something from God, but I ignore his principles in other areas of my life. So in Mark 11 that we read, verse 24 is where it says to you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. But immediately in verse 25, it says, and at that point, when you are praying, if it dawns on you that you have something against somebody, it says prayer is no longer your priority. Obedience is now your priority. So you see, when I'm asking in faith, and I'm not in alignment with his instruction, that is just what? Greed. Wearing a mask of religion. And there are so many greedy religious people. Do you understand what I'm saying? So many greedy religious people. How somebody can wake up in the morning and pray and release faith. And then with that same mouth, you begin to gossip. Or as a husband, you begin to treat your wife insensitively. Now, the Bible says to you, deal with her like what? Like an equal partner. Be sensitive to her because your prayers will be in that. So for a man, wisdom is to do what? Is to sort out your wife first before you start praying. See, prayer is powerful, but there are some things that are so powerful they can stop your prayers. Another one is if you have employees and you are not fair to them. Let all employers of labor listen. See, you cannot be enjoying and the people that work for you are suffering and you expect your business to what? To prosper. So the Bible said God blessed the business of Potiphar because of Joseph. The problem with so many people is you don't know who your real customers are. The people for whom God is doing all that he's doing. Hagar took her son Ishmael, put him on one side. The baby was crying. And she said, I don't want to watch when my baby is going to die. The angel of God appeared and said, I have heard the cry of the child. Two people were crying. But one cry was heard, the cry of covenant. And the God we serve is the Lord of hosts. You need to get at the moment there is a group of people, especially when you are stronger than them, a group of people that respond or they are subordinated to you. If you don't take care of them, your prayers will not be answered. It's as simple as that. It's the reason why some businesses never prosper. Because the owner of the business see the people as means to an end. They are just tools that are used to make money. And when you are that kind of person, forget about praying. The same thing a woman that refuses to honor her husband. Okay? Or the believer that refuses. You know, I say these things jokingly. Jokingly, wives. That when a woman says to her husband, you know what, I'm just tired, don't touch me, don't touch me. Yeah, I get it, you have a headache. You know, there's this natural headache. There are two things that an unregenerated wife will have. It's a headache and I don't know. It's default. If you don't wake up as a woman and say, I'm going to counter this thing, you will notice these are two default things that come out of you. When you just don't feel like, I'm tired. Why are you tired? What happened to you? I have a headache. Have you noticed? Sometimes you were not feeling it until you said it. It will just come. I have a headache. Then the second one is, I don't know. Watch how often you say, I don't know, and see how dumb you become over time. I don't know is not really because you don't know. I don't know is I don't want to bother my head. It's mental laziness. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so my question is, one day I was thinking about it, you know, and I said, what part of 1 Corinthians 7 have these women not read? Now, it's not like I came for the women this morning, but there are so many portions of scripture, you know. Look, when you know scripture and you refuse to align with scripture, forget about praying. You see, because you are the one that isolates my health, my business, my job, my marriage. When God looks at you, he sees everything. So God tells a man, you are treating your wife bad. Forget about sowing powerful seed. Forget about praying powerful prayers. Something as simple as you woke up in the morning, or better still, she cooked, and you couldn't just say thank you. You are not just considerate. She went to work, you went to work, she came back at 7, you came back at 7:30, and she's in the kitchen cooking, and she serves the food, and the first thing that comes out of your mouth is that the salt is not enough. In heaven, they just say, off mic. Off his mic. Follow him on. It's amazing, very spiritual. You know, and there's something, listen to me. You cannot walk with God. See, you can't be in faith and be foolish at the same time. You cannot be a person of prayer and be insensitive. You will see that in what we're sharing this morning. You can't be a person of consistent prayer and be insensitive. When you are like that, it is proof that that is just what? Greed. Wearing a mask of religion. You are into your relationship with God for you. Listen, if you have prayed for 6 months and you have not heard God in that same period, that's greed. Wearing a mask of religion. Because you're not the only one that has something to say. As a matter of fact, God has more to say than you have to say. See, if all your prayer sessions have been about you talking to God and you have not heard God in 6 months, that is greed. Wearing a mask of religion. My name is Shegwa, okay? And I'm your friend. I love you. I'm telling you because nobody would tell you like this. And I told you that prayer, the prayer that works, is made by faith in the name of Jesus. And that was what we talked about last week. The prayer that works is made by faith in the name of Jesus. In other words, when you say in the name of Jesus, be conscious, I am asking as if Jesus was the one asking. So God is not going to respond to me. God is going to respond to Jesus. I'm not going to get what I deserve. I'm going to get what Jesus deserves. That's the power in the name of Jesus. When you speak to situations in the name of Jesus, they are not responding to you. They are responding to Jesus. Are you getting this? They're responding to what? They're responding to Jesus. Now let's move on today because of time. The prayer that works, watch this, is intentional, consistent, and persistent. I'm going to focus on intentional and then I'm going to lump consistent and persistent together. The prayer that works is intentional, consistent, and persistent. Years ago, I was watching a video and Gloria Copeland said something. You know, one of those statements people will make and you'll be like, are we serving the same God? She said, I was listening maybe to this message, maybe sometimes in the late 90s or thereabout, or early 20s. And she said, since 1972, I have not prayed any prayer that God has not answered. Like you guys say around here, it shock you. I have not made any prayer. She said, as at the time she was speaking, it was over 10 years. Since 1972, that God has not answered. So when I tell you that the prayer that works is intentional, I am saying it is strategic. It is made in such a way that it produces results. So it's not enough to pray. I told you it's an expression of faith, not feelings. So it's not about how much we shout. It's not about how desperate we are. It's about how strategic the prayer is. Okay? So Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 to 13, Luke chapter 11 verse 2 to 4, Jesus gave us a strategic pattern of prayer. That's where we're going to start from. So the disciples said, look, like John taught his disciples to pray, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, this is how you should pray. He didn't say this all the time you want to pray. It's a pattern. It's a strategy for prayer. Number one, approach him as your father. When it comes to ministry, be mindful of the fact that you are a servant. But when it comes to prayer, be mindful that you are talking to your father. The attitude is different. See, children don't ask of their parents expecting a negative response. There's a degree of faith that children have in their parents because they know how much their parents love them. That's the truth. I'm sure I'm not the best father in the world. I'm definitely not the best father in the world. But sometimes I am overwhelmed with the kind of love I have for my children. You know, sometimes when you feel... I went to the supermarket with my daughter yesterday, and honestly speaking, we were holding hands, and I was actually feeling like a teenager. I'm telling you. We're holding hands, and at a point I said, I love this girl. I love this girl. At a point she said, Daddy, I want this. She knows the response is yes. Okay, I'm going to give it to you. They know to come to daddy when it's a discipline issue. Some of you think I'm tough. It's because you are not my child in that sense. See, my kids know. Mommy is tough. Daddy is just Mr. Nice Guy. And I'm just mesmerized. That's the truth. It's just love. And the Bible says, when you want to approach God, be mindful of that. Our Father, who art in heaven. Every time you want to pray, stop thinking like a creature. I think like, he will give me. He said, if you've been evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more? Your Father in heaven, give good things to those who ask him. How much more? Our Father, who art in heaven. What's the next thing? The protocol of his presence. Praise. Listen, if you are not strategic like this, you will miss out. Some of us are so overwhelmed with what we are dealing with that when we enter his presence, we enter with tears. In fact, some of us murmur to call his attention. Are you getting this? And you say to yourself, it's the way I'm feeling. No, it's not about the way you are feeling. Every time you approach him like a father. He's my father. He's going to do it. And then I would praise you. What's the next thing? Hallowed be thy name. What's the next thing? Thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the place of prayer, you've got to make the kingdom of God your priority, not your issues. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Before, give us this day our daily bread. Do you see where the devil is in the shadow? Forgive us our trespasses. Don't go into his presence sin conscious. You are talking to your father. You have praised him. You are talking about the kingdom. You have talked about your needs before you are mindful of I sinned. Before he now says, deliver us from temptation. Some of us, that's where we start from. Father, Lord, my stubborn pursuer. See, nobody is pursuing you. You are the chairman of the village people. Because a lot of us are not just strategic in the place of prayer. Listen, don't be so overwhelmed by anything that you forget that this is how to approach God. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. I said it a few weeks ago. I don't know how to go to God's presence and be talking about things. I'm telling you. It doesn't mean I don't desire things. It doesn't mean I don't attract things. So I'll give you a very good example. Recently, I just felt like, you know, there's this car I like. And when I want something, I just take pictures and I put it around me. So I took pictures of the car and I put it on my desktop. Okay, every time I'm working, once I minimize what I'm working on, I'm seeing. Now, that's not the only picture there. And Saturday morning, I woke up and the Holy Spirit was like, Bonnet, leave that car alone. Stop thinking about that. And I'm going to get that with you now. Stop thinking about that car, okay? That's not the next thing you should be thinking about. Don't put any energy in that direction. And I said, okay. See, but before then, my kids will come. Oh, daddy, I like it. Oh, one day, you know, my son came and said, daddy, what is this? The sister said, that's daddy's new car. So that's daddy's new car. But Saturday morning, I deleted all the pictures. And I did a cover design for my next book. And I put it there. I'm not saying you should go and do the same thing. Prayer is talking to God and hearing from God. I want a car, but he said, bone car. My kingdom first. So I designed the cover. It took me about almost an hour. As a matter of fact, by the time I was done with the cover design, I'm still going to give it to my consultant, but I'm so attracted, I'm so attached to it. And every time I'm seeing it, that's what I'm thinking about. That's what I'm thinking about. And what he said to me is, what I'm going to do for you is beyond the picture you picked. And what I picked was nice. But unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly, far above what we ask or imagine. So when we go into his presence, we have to learn to submit our imagination to him. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. The prayer that works is intentional. Intentional. When I say intentional, I mean it is according to God's will as revealed by the Spirit. When I say intentional, see, what I am praying about now, okay, is as revealed by the Spirit as God's will for now. So this strategic prayer I'm talking about is made up of two things, rima and timing. Rima and timing. In other words, as you are meditating on scripture, the Holy Spirit will show you what you have to be doing now. That should be your prayer point. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It exists already in heaven. So before you start praying, you should know the will of God before you start praying. That's why we pray in the Spirit on all occasions. For many Pentecostal believers, when you hear praying in the Spirit, your mind goes to praying in tongues. In a sense, you are correct. But it is not just that you are praying in tongues. It is about what happens when you begin to pray in tongues. As you begin to pray in tongues, okay, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you for that season the mind of God. When you're the kind of person that works with a prayer list, your prayer list should be made up of things revealed to you by the Spirit for now. Are we getting this? Rhema. In other words, my word. My word. Everybody who knows me knows there's something between me and Isaiah 50 verse 4. So when I go into God's presence, praying with Isaiah 60 verse 4, or I want to pray about ill seat, and I go with Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, I didn't just shop for scripture. This is word that he gave us. So there's a project we want to do at Hill City. When I approach God, I said, you said to us. It's not just the Bible says. Do you understand what I'm saying now? It was not everybody that was on the lake, on the river that day that caught a net breaking, boat sinking amount of fish. It was only Peter. Are you getting it now? It was only Peter. Peter signaled to his friends. The reason why they got a breakthrough was by association. The miracle was for Peter. And before the catching of the fish, there was transaction. So that's what, you see, if you can't hear God, you won't be effective in prayer. Because he heard God say, let me use your boat. He obeyed. Faith without obedience is greed wearing a mask of religion. Let me use a boat. I mean, think about it. The guy has toiled all night and caught nothing. They were mending their nets, and then Jesus now comes and says, let me use your boat. To do what? I want to preach. So how does that affect the price of fish in Galilee? And he was there patiently, listening to Jesus. He didn't know that was his new boss. And after listening to Jesus, Jesus now said, throw your net to the right side. Not like right, wrong. Mm-mm. To the right. There is a particular location. The moment you start praying, it's because, look, this is what he said to me. I am talking to him about what he talked to me about for now. In other words, it's possible for you to be praying for the right thing at the wrong time. I think concerning the car, that was where I was. It's not a bad thing, but this is not the time for it. Remember Gehazi. There's nothing wrong with receiving. But Elisha said, look, it's not the time to receive. You've got to be sensitive to timing. So you see, strategic prayers, prayers that work is not just a function of, it's not an overflow of your desire for things. It is your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 to 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will. So asking is not enough. According to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Listen. It's not difficult for me to believe that you will give me what you have just told me you are about to give me. So people struggle with faith a lot of times because you see, faith comes by hearing and hearing by rhema. So when you don't have God speak to you on an issue, it's difficult for you to approach him on the strength of his word because you don't know his mind or his will concerning that matter. And I'm not talking about generic will of God. It's the will of God for everybody to prosper now. But that may not be what you are supposed to be doing. And this is what I'm trying to say. Somebody has decided to start food business. And the person begins to declare, the Bible says, whatever I lay my hands upon to do shall prosper. And now the person now says, I've been praying about this, my food business, for the past 6 years, and it is not working. What did God tell you about food business? And I see a lot of people who think because they've been in church for quite a while and they know the Bible, therefore, I can do ministry. In that I can start preaching and teaching, I can start a church. It doesn't work that way. That's the truth. I have a handful of people that were with me or used to be, you know, in my pastor's church. And in those days, you would think I was popular. I was resident pastor. Everybody respected me. Everybody loved me. My pastor loved me. And my pastor stood on stage and said, anybody that feels led to go to Hill City with Pishegs, feel free to go. So the question is, what are they waiting for? Less than five. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Less than five. One of the mistakes we make is to think spiritual things are like, you know, natural occurrences. Is the will of God, so this way I'm going, is the will of God for me to pastor a church? Is the will of God for me to start a church? Is the will of God for people to come to the church? But it is also the will of God to process the messenger. And sometimes there will not be returns because you are in process. So even though your David has been anointed to be king, you can't afford to be jostling for a throne. Because that's what some of us do in the praise of prayer. It belongs to me. And then you look at another person, if it's the same God we are serving, does he have two heads? Sometimes yes. The Egyptians looked at the Israelites and said, they were our slaves. There is nothing they can do that we cannot do. See, sometimes you will struggle in what people are suffering on. They said, which we would go across the Red Sea. Say, you don't understand. You did not eat. You are not connected to who they are connected to. So they drowned in what somebody that was lesser than them walked in. And it happens to people a lot. Because you are not sensitive to your own timing, to God's operation in your own life. And some of us even just pray as a form of, you know, as a formality. So that it will not be that I didn't tell God about it. You are going to do what you are going to do anyway. And then when it does not work, you now begin to question whether God is faithful or not. Yet, and see, this is what I love about God. For everybody that says that God has not answered my prayer, there are five people that are proof that God answers prayer. It's one of the reasons why we share testimonies every day. Because some people are not praying, or some are praying and not obeying, and they want to, and you know, now the social media world where everybody has freedom of expression, not necessarily freedom after expression. Now, I'm not talking about people attacking you after you have expressed yourself, but I'm saying that all the freedom you have is just to type something, but you are really not free. Emotionally broke, financially broke. Some people don't have a voice but for social media. They really are not free. People can only abuse people on their phone. when they see the person in real life, they can't open their mouth. You are not free. You are not free. Are you getting this? You are not free. And it's because of a lot of assumptions. Oh, we are fellow believers. No. See, some people's thoughts are louder in heaven than some people's words on earth. And there is a way to get there. Are we getting this? There is a way to get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 to 12. I quote this a lot. The average Hill City member will know this, but I want you to look at the scripture yourself. Hallelujah. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. Some of you would have heard me say, I'm not a hustler. You see, there are things prepared. Are you getting this? So you are not going into God's presence to convince God to bless you. There are things prepared. Look at verse 10. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Are you getting this? That is what you pursue. That is what you pray about. What has been revealed to you? Amen. What has been revealed to you? The prayer that works is intentional, it's strategic. I'm not just going there to talk about I want it. I'm going there to talk about what He wants for me now. Hallelujah. I said the prayer that works is not only intentional, it is consistent and persistent. What do I mean by that? It is made with fixed regularity till it produces results. Now, this is important. The prayer that works is made with fixed regularity till it produces results. Fixed regularity till it produces results. Now, let's look at our text again this morning. It says, pray in the Spirit. Now, you know what that means. Pray according to the Spirit's revelation. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know that over 70% of what the Holy Spirit does in our life is reveal things. So when it says pray in the Spirit, it says pray by revelation. Pray according to revelation. So it says pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Why should I be alert? Because you see, there are some responses from God that will alter how you pray the next time. That's why you've got to be alert. Because most of the time, He wants to talk to you about it more than do something about it. Some people's prayers have not been seemingly answered because they were not alert to receive the instruction that will position them for their manifestation. So you just hear, for example, you hear somebody's testimony and says, well, they laid off 80 people, I mean 80%, they did not lay us off, and then I got a new job. See, in church, that's editing. Because you can't get a job you didn't apply for. Oh no, you don't understand. I didn't apply for the job. They just called me. No, somebody knew you. When you were being diligent because you were obeying the word of God, even though you were working in a hostile environment. Do you understand what I'm saying now? And then the person sends for you, or you applied for the job, you are competent for the job, and you respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Are we getting this? And that's how these things happen. So be alert in your prayers. Consistency means you do it with fixed regularity. Persistence means you do it till you get results. So we pray consistently and we pray persistently. We pray consistently, we pray persistently. Okay, some of us now, you've been joining either morning prayers or evening prayers. Now think about that. For some of us now, it's 5 months consistently, either in the morning or in the evening. And one of the reasons why I keep telling people to do ministry is, how can I and my wife be leading the prayer sessions and the answer to those prayers will not visit our house? One of the things I don't like about Christians is jealousy. You see that Abel and Cain syndrome? It's plenty a lot in church. You cannot not be saying, God has abandoned me. Come and join us. Pray with us. If Cain did what Abel did, he will get Abel's results. Are we getting this? There's nothing anybody can get under God that you cannot get. But don't just covet it. Understand their process. Consistent prayer is how we overcome the pull of the flesh. This is important. So when I tell you that the prayer that works is an expression of faith, and that faith without obedience is greed wearing a mask of religion, the reason why you will pray and you will not obey is because you allow yourself to be pulled by the flesh. It is consistency in prayer that makes us overcome what? The pull of the flesh. When I say the pull of the flesh, I'm talking about the temptation to quit or to compromise. The temptation to quit or to compromise. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, Message Bible. The Bible says, Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. It is consistency in prayer that does not make us quit. Somebody needs to get that. You're running a business or in your... Listen, if your husband is crazy and you don't make a habit of prayer, you will quit. Sorry. If you are married and you don't make a habit of prayer, you will quit. The crazy is by default. As long as you are married to a human being. I'm telling you the truth. Everybody has a quirk somewhere. And the closer people are to you, the more their tendency to step on your toes. Listen, the only way you are going to be married for 40 years without causing trouble is consistency in prayer. So Jesus told them, if you don't want to quit, make a habit of prayer. You know the reason why? When we pray, we switch from the flesh to the spirit. We operate in God's frequency. I'm telling you the truth. If you make a habit of consistency, if you make a habit of prayer, you will notice you will get offended less. It's not because people don't offend you. It is because you are mindful. You are more conscious of God's word, of God's approach, of God's perspective than a human perspective. When people want to cheat you, you don't see it as cheating because you know all things work together for my good. You can't cheat me. Are you getting it right now? The reason why a woman begins to suspect her husband and looking for password is because you have allowed the thought of the devil to seep in. Maybe he's cheating on me. Another woman knows if you sleep with my husband, it doesn't mean you have him. It's a different ballgame entirely. I'm not sure you got that. That you sleep with my husband doesn't mean I've lost him. He's just playing. You know, he's like a pet. If you had the kind of pets I used to have, I don't know if you grew up in the area I grew up in, where people have pets. See, but your pet is like everybody's pet. You know, for like 4 or 5 hours, your pet will be in another person's house. But by 6, it's coming back home. Some of you had goats like that. That's the difference between covenant and attraction. And some man needs to know that some woman... Listen, you will not allow your wife to fly high. That thing the reason why you don't trust your wife is because you don't have a trusting nature. It has nothing to do with your wife. It is because you don't have what? Have you noticed that if you don't trust or if people don't trust you, you can't excel? When somebody wants to sell something to you in Lagos, you say payment on delivery. But you send your money to China and you are waiting for 1 month. And you don't expect them to dupe you. It's trust. It's a nature of God. I was talking to somebody recently. You know, a lot of Christians don't know that Christian character is a convertible resource. There's one businessman somewhere. He has competent people, but he's looking for one person to put above them, and the only quality he's looking for is trust. And the more you fellowship with God, the more you become like him. If people can trust God, after some time of consistent prayer, they will trust you. Because you will have his nature. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. Jesus said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So consistency in prayer is how we do what? How we override the flesh. Just make a habit of prayer. It can be 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Make it consistently. I wake up at this time and I pray. So if you pray more than 30 minutes, you can start at 5 and join us by 5:30. Are you getting this? Or you join us at 5:30, you are muted anyway, so you don't even have to hear our prayer points. But just use the church to build a habit. For people who don't understand, that's what this is all about. It's just so that all of us can build this habit. So, you know, because sometimes you have some things you want to pray about, and some of our prayer points is not what you are dealing with. You understand? And just disconnect your audio, but be there on Zoom praying and over your list. At the end of 30 minutes, you have prayed. Consistency in prayer is not about the prayer point. It's about consistency in prayer. You know what I found out? That when you focus on lead measures, you don't have to bother about lag measures. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not always on the scale every day. I don't. But every time I go check, I've lost weight. You know the reason why? Because there are some things I am doing. Not like some other people will expect me to do, but there are things I'm doing. That's the truth. I tell people that all the time. Maybe one of these days I will come teach Kaizen in church. Because the reason why a lot of people are not moving forward is because they don't understand the power of little. Just listen, it's better for you to pray for 15 minutes every day than for you to come and pray on Saturday morning 5 hours. There's something about that consistency. It makes you sensitive. Listen, talking to God is not as important as hearing from God. So the most powerful result of prayer is sensitivity. And it's consistency. See, that's the reason why somebody goes to work and after some time, she's in love with somebody at work more than the person at home. Not just because they spend time together, but there is a consistency. There is a way the guy talks to her. There is a way the guy treats her. You are husband. Someday you are hot, someday you are cold. This guy every day is courteous. Just consistently. Hallelujah. Consistently. Listen to this one. Consistent prayer is how we stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Consistent prayer is how we stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Remember the story of Peter in Acts of Apostles chapter 10. See, you would notice it was just a function of habit. The man of God was fasting. It was time for him to break his fast. And they said food is not ready. So while they were preparing the food, he just went up to the roof and he prayed. That's consistency in prayer. And as he was praying, he got that revelation. By the time he was meditating on the revelation, the Holy Spirit said to him. See, at the end of the day, we don't know what he said in prayer. But we know what the Holy Spirit said. It made him a pioneer. So 3 men are waiting for you downstairs. Don't be afraid to go with them. I have sent them. That's what the Holy Spirit said to him. That was all he needed, the instruction for his next level. He broke a barrier that by the time he came back, he had to face panel. Oh, did somebody catch that? If you are following the natural order, there are some things you will never be able to conceive. But somebody listening to me, if you will yield yourself to consistency in prayer, the Holy Spirit will inspire you to do something that will cause a family meeting. They will call you. Tell us the truth. So that we can know how to support you when you are going to jail. How are you making this? They've not called you before. Amen? At the point, there were things I stopped discussing with my mother. Because I said to myself, this woman that God has given long life, I don't want to kill her myself. So there are some things I don't talk to her about. Because it will blow her mind. That's the truth. It will blow her mind. And that some of my friends too, that I don't talk to them about some things. I just know sometimes some of the things you share is overwhelming. One of my mentors said that. He said, after some time, as he continued to succeed in ministry, he said his friends started reducing because he noticed that some of his testimonies, as he was sharing, you know there are times when you are sharing a testimony and you can literally see pain. You are no longer sharing, you are oppressing. So he said he had to now be keeping short and be keeping quiet, and it begins to feel lonely. You can't even say what God has done because, let me give you an example of what I'm saying. There was a time in this church we were trusting God for 2 million as we were praying. I was praying every day for 2 million. And I was gisting with my friend one day. Guess what? They were fencing their church. The budget was 20 million. Fence. And they were not praying about it. They had it. How encouraging is that? I know what I'm talking about. You will get there in Jesus' name. Not the 2 million person, you'll be the 20 million person. In the name of Jesus. See, but it takes, I'm telling you, see, this friend of mine I'm talking about, I may not be able to say anything about him except I know he's a man of consistent prayer. You know, one day we were talking, he told me, he said, Pastor, you know, there are times when I want to pray, I have some CAC friends. I mean, this guy is Jewish, wears tie and all that. He said, but see, there are some prayers. See, I have CAC pastors that are my friends. I invite them for us to pray those prayers. Let me tell you, excellence, real excellence. Huh? Is to study like a Pentecostal, dress like a Pentecostal, but pray like an apostolic. Fast and pray like the apostolic. Do you understand now? Dangerous prayers. Now, I'm not talking about shouting. See, let me tell you what happens when we pray like that. We become sensitive. We'll hear crazy instructions. But it's in that place of prayer also that faith is so steered. See, some of the things you do after praying, you will not even know what you're doing. You would have done them before logic will kick in. But then there will be a supernatural result. So consistent prayer is how we what? We stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I want to help somebody because every time I preach now, I'm always focused on baby Christians, people who've been born again, maybe just like 3 months, 4 months, 1 year. Okay, there are three questions I want to quickly deal with and then we conclude this morning. This is the first one. Do I have to keep praying to God about the same thing? So think about it. I want a job. I come on Monday and I say, because a lot of people don't understand these things practically. I come to you, I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want a job. And you know, most times when you start out like that, you don't have many verses of scripture. And your word says, I shall ask and it shall be given unto me. Father, job. Father, job. Father, job. Father, job. In the name of Jesus. When I come on Tuesday, what's the prayer point? If at the time, listen. Because a lot of us don't pray. And it's because we don't have answer to this question. So I've prayed to God about it. What else am I supposed to do? Now listen. Keep talking to God and hearing Him about it till you get the right result. Sometimes God has so much to reveal. Okay? That one prayer session is not enough. As a matter of fact, you said you have prayed about it, but all you did, you talked to Him about it. You did not even wait for a response. I'm going to show you how to do this practically. So a lot of times He has so much to reveal. And it's every time you talk about it, He will reveal something new. He will reveal something fresh. Or He needs you to change your perspective about it. And sometimes you hearing from Him once is not enough. So Pastor, how do I pray about the same thing to God consistently? So the first time I come, I stand on the strength of Rhema. The word He has given me. What if He has not given me a word? I mention the situation and I begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. So, Father, this is what I want. And I begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, there's nothing wrong with you taking initiative. There's nothing wrong with you telling God what you want. It's like husbands and wives all the time. When the wife comes to tell the husband, what do you want for dinner? Every man that's been married for like 5 years knows that that's asking is just preamble. She already knows what she's going to feed you. So what do you want for dinner? I want this, no. I want that, no. I want this, no. I want this, no. So eat eba okra, yes. So when you approach God, you need to realize He already knows what He wants to do in your life. So when you tell Him what you want, He will respond. And then sometimes God's answer to your prayer is not that God will do something, but that God wants to educate you. So you go the first time and you ask Him on the strength of His word. The next time you go, you thank Him for it. After that, you begin to praise Him and then you begin to describe the answer to your prayer. You are talking about the same thing. You are not asking anymore. But you're talking about it. So I don't go to God, for example, now and say, Father, Lord, send leaders to Hill City. We have leaders already. So I talk to Him. Okay? Help them to grow. Sometimes I pray to Him, give them a better vision, give them a stronger vision. At other times I say, Father, whatever the situation in their life that is distracting them from effective leadership, Father, and every time I pray, He will now tell me, for example, there's going to be a training program for leaders in December. Just one prayer session, by the time I was done with the prayer session, share this, take this video, play for them, and I just documented everything. Thank you, Lord. The answer to that prayer is not just that morning. After that training, for example, 4 months of growth is a response to prayer. We are in the process and we are still talking about it. For some people listening to me, the only thing that is going to happen in these 4 months is that you will develop a habit of prayer. And at the end of the year, God's purpose would have been achieved because now you have a habit of prayer. The answer to the prayer you are praying may still be 2021. But the objective for these 4 months is you develop the habit of prayer. Another person is your reading culture. So you see, when you see us do anything strategically, it's not as though we are reading a book or we went for a conference. No. It's always in response to prayer. Then God will what? Give instruction. And the more you talk to Him about it, the more He will talk to you about it. For example, you go to pray. See, you go to pray to God about your spouse. Let me say this to you. If you have marital challenges, all right, at least 50% of the problem is you. So when you go to God in prayer, He will talk to you about what you are supposed to do to solve the problem. Not that you will tell the person. How many of you married folks always stumble on books that your spouse should read? How many people? It happens all the time. Wrong book. And it will pain you. Because you look at the book, I get it already. If this guy can just get you, you are still holding the wrong book. When you are young and you don't know how these things work, you now take the book, you go to your spouse. Can I just take a witness? You cajole my husband, my wife, read this book, and then the person will not touch it. For any reason. It's because you are using your power wrongly. The power you have to control is yourself. and God wants to talk to you about you. You know what happens when you neglect, I'll be sorry, when you stop focusing on the other person and focus on your adjustments? It's amazing. You guys will just be gisting one day and say, you know what? That book, you see, I've told my wife now, she should just look straight. There's this sheepish smile she has. I know she's trying to tell me something. Now, I'll be saying things, you know, like I caught a revelation. You know, if we do it this way, then we do it this way. Exactly what you are saying. But the beauty of prayer is when your wife is saying it by intuition, the Holy Spirit can convince you by logic. You will not do it because she's saying so. You will do it because as she's saying it, you are sensitive to pick what the Holy Spirit is also saying to you. Okay? So thank God for it. Talk to him about it. Ask him questions about it. Don't just say, fix my husband, fix my husband, fix my husband. No. How do we go about it? How should we raise our children? You understand what I'm saying? This is another question. My mind wanders when I'm praying. What should I do? Anybody like that? See, every issue I'm raising here are things I dealt with. And I don't know, the kind of church I grew up in, you know, you have so many super spiritual people that you are even too ashamed to ask your question. Anybody like that? So that even just to ask the question. And me, when I'm praying like that, I'll just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, and I can't think. I can so travel. You know, when I was younger, in my sleep, I used to fly. And I used to think something was wrong with me until it dawned on me that it was my imagination. And some of those things I used to imagine people are doing now. It was just this active imagination. And they will tell you when you are praying, focus on Jesus, focus on Jesus. In fact, when people in those days, the Holy Spirit is moving. You know, they said some of us, we didn't know how to focus. That's why the Holy Spirit is not touching us. We are in minute, you know, community. Active imagination. The only thing that blesses me, I don't want to mention names, but some of your great men of God are actually like that. And some of the things they've shared with me is what I am sharing with you. When you start praying like this, before 10 minutes, you just notice you are still in Ketu, but your mind is in Lekki already. Some of you, as I'm talking to you right now, some of you ladies, you have finished lunch. As in, you have gotten home, you have bought out the rice, you have cooked it, you have fried the meat, you have served the children. You can see yourself sitting in the evening, sipping juice, the particular one that they sell with that Malam kiosk. How many people are like that? Then you now come to, hey, I'm supposed to be praying. In the name of, then you now quickly pray, Father, I'm sorry, Father, I'm sorry. First thing I'm going to tell you, God is a spirit. He's not a man. You understand what I'm saying? God is not a man. Or some of you, you've not prayed for 3 days. Then you're like, hey, how do I approach him more? God is not a man. But this is a practical solution. Use a prayer list. And that's why I've been encouraging people to have a prayer list. It's one of the ways you can be intentional and strategic. See, God is not a man. So when you pick point one, and after point one, your mind begins to wander. When you come back, just go, where were we? Just point two, start praying. Point three, start praying. Number two, use your imagination to pre-play the answer to your prayer. So if you are praying about something in Ketu, at least you are sure your mind is still in Ketu. So I'm praying about a new job. All right? And you are the kind of person that is, you know, active imagination. So begin to picture yourself at your interview, okay? Picture the favor you will receive from everybody, your jumbo paycheck, your first day at work, how you are going to be efficient on the job, how you are going to be quickly promoted. Listen, when you use your imagination like that, even your words in prayer will be different. And you will just notice after some time, your mind does not wander anymore. Hallelujah. And then finally, must I pray for hours? And then how long is long enough? Anybody like that? How long is long enough? Listen to this. The Bible does not stipulate how long we should pray. But we have examples of Jesus praying for hours. Now listen, the Bible would record how that Jesus, when it is still very early in the morning, will go to a solitary place to pray. And then it is in the morning that the disciples will now come and say, we've been looking for you. The man of God teaching was like, that's approximately about 4 hours. And then we also have record of Jesus praying all night. Before he appointed his apostles, the disciples, okay, the Bible said he went to pray and he prayed all night. And it was when he came in the following day, okay, so we see Jesus praying 12 hours. We see Jesus praying approximately 4 hours. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to his disciples, couldn't you wait with me for 1 hour? So there is no instruction, pray long. But we see evidence of investing time in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. So what it means is, it's okay But one of the things that blesses me the most, or blessed me the most, one of my teachers, he said something. He said, this is a relationship. If you are not praying enough, you will know. Because he will tell you. So it's not enough for you to, because for someone like me, I used to struggle with, oh, I want to pray for hours. Then it dawned on me. I talk to God, he talks to me. So he will give you feedback. And my kind of personality will do short periods of time consistently. So most of the time when I pray now, it's a burst of 20 minutes. But I can do that several in a day. Do you understand what I'm saying? Dude, that's my personality. Number two, my personalities are such that I engage God a lot in my mind. So before you know it, the guy that says I pray for 5 hours, I probably do more. My personality is not just the type that will stay on one spot and be speaking loudly for 4 hours. A burst of 20 minutes. And I have a prayer list when I'm praying. I cover what I'm supposed to cover in Jesus. And then I sit down and begin to hear God. The truth is, we keep tracking how long we talk. My kind of personality, we never track how long we spend hearing from him. The only thing that dawned on me, like I shared with you before, is the same things they get after 4 hours of talking, we also get the same thing. You see, because I don't tell them. As a matter of fact, now I don't tell people that I know are very super spiritual and who like to pray for long. I don't tell them how long I pray. I just get feedback from them when I share stuff and I'm like, man, that's deep. And I'm like, it's okay. But at this point, you need to follow your sanctified mind. If you're not praying enough, the Holy Spirit will tell you. When we were talking, my pastor told me, he said, Shago, for the kind of person that you are, for the assignment God has given you, you need to invest a lot of time in meditation. For the assignment that God has given me, I need to invest a lot of time in praying in tongues for our assignment. So it's not about looking at somebody else's clock. As you're listening to me right now, in your heart of hearts, you will know. When he wants you to take it to another level, he will tell you. Let me show you how that happens. When you start praying and you don't sense God's presence, it is not because you have done anything wrong. It is because God is inviting you deeper. He's asking you to come deeper. Come deeper. Come deeper. So don't mark, you know, I've done it. Be sensitive to what he's telling you to do. Some of us, Saturday morning, he wants you to spend the whole day. Sometimes he might not be talking to him. Okay, you know what? Take out that day. Talk to me. After that, sit down and allow me to talk to you. Another time, he wants you to intercede for people. Whatever he lays on your heart to do. Okay? Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Now, this is it. That you pray for long does not mean your prayer will be answered. That you pray according to his will. And Jesus telling his disciples said, your father knows what you need before you come to pray. So it's not about how you pray, how long you pray. It's about how engaged you are in the place of prayer. Finally, this morning, praying in tongues is the most effective way to pray intentionally and consistently. Praying in tongues is the most what? Effective way to pray intentionally and consistently. Because sometimes you wake up and you don't have something to pray about. Sometimes God does something so beautiful in your life and you're like, wow, I just don't know what to pray about. But you know, I need to spend time with God. Pray in tongues. When you're overwhelmed emotionally, pray in tongues. Okay? And as you pray in tongues, he will tell you. You know, a lot of times when I lead prayers, I don't necessarily sit down and say, what are we praying about today? And let me quickly share this with you. It's not every time I pray that I'm using my prayer list. Because when I'm praying, the first thing I do is I just pray in tongues. If I'm going to pray for 1 hour, I probably spend about 30 minutes praying in tongues. Spend another 20 minutes worshiping God. Then I'll settle on my prayer list. But what happens a lot of times is as you are praying in tongues, it will give you a rhema for now. So you know, this is what we should deal with right now. This is what you should pray about right now. And so some of those prayer sessions we have together, it is as we're praying in the Spirit, it says, okay, you focus on this, pray about this right now. And if you pray at that moment, something happens. Have you been blessed? Let's rise up on our feet and bless him this morning.